Perhaps we can read a few words from the book of prophet Isaiah, chapter 38. Here is the song of Hezekiah. At verse 9 of chapter 38, it says, "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he'd been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I was in the cutting off of my days. I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not serve the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My age has departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From the day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion so shall he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me, like a crane or a swallow. So did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to this in stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." It says in particular here in verse 17, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." I remember when I was a young minister in the island of Mull. Before I married, I very often stayed with one or two of the ladies of the congregation, one lady, widow of an elder, Mrs. McKellar. And Tobermory was very kind, but she took ill very seriously, and she was sent to Open where they sought to operate. But they found that she was inoperable with cancer. When she came back, one night I was staying with her and I read this passage concerning Hezekiah. And I prayed that the Lord would heal her. Well, she had to go for another checkup to Oban, and the next time she went, they could find no cancer. It was gone. And that dear lady lived for another 15 years. You see, God still answers prayer, as he did to Hezekiah. So let us be encouraged today in prayer, friends. Because my theme this morning is 15 years left. 15 years left. How many years do you think that you have left? If the Lord is sparing you today for 5 or 10 or 15 or 50, will you be like Hezekiah? The sad truth, friends, is we must almost say it would have been better if the Lord had taken him then. Long life in itself is not always the best, greatest blessing. We can see from Hezekiah's song in Isaiah that his knowledge was limited concerning the life hereafter. And perhaps it was that limitation that brought him to pray that prayer. But we know in it all, God's providence was at work. And perhaps where Hezekiah missed the best, that we will be warned and learn the lesson. What will you do with what is left of your life as you are spared? The record isn't so good for Hezekiah. Yes, the Lord, we believe, cast his sins behind his back. But these sins are still before us as a lesson to us. So we look a little at this good man and his career today, for there are lessons for us believers today. What of the years that are left? Well, to begin with, we read here of a man. We read of so strong a reformer. You know the word Hezekiah, what does it mean? It means Jehovah is strength. And this man was a strong man. He was 25 years old, and he came to the throne, and he set about cleansing the land, and he rejected the evils of his father. He rejected the evils of his father. It came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. He set about rejecting the evils of his father. Some things are things that we have to reject, aren't there? Everything that we've received isn't best, although we treasure what we have. But here was a man who followed on a wicked father. Instead of accepting and following that path, he rejected it. We read about Ahaz that he made his children walk through the fire in his idolatry. Can you think of this young Hezekiah? In his boyhood, in his cruel father, for the sake of his idolatry, he's making him walk through living, burning coals. But instead of accepting this cruel, godless path, Hezekiah was led to reject it. He survived to reject the evils of his father. There's a lot of evils going around in our day, friends, and it's our business to reject them. We heard yesterday afternoon, the elders and men, about the evils, the fearful evils that are being perpetrated and introduced by the fathers of the nation. We have to reject. We are to be rejectors. We are to be strong. He rejected the evils of his father. Secondly, he refused the errors of his people. It says that he cut down and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses has made. For in those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. You say, why did you do that? Here is the serpent that saved Israel in the desert. Didn't Jesus say, as the serpent was lifted up by Moses, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up? What a precious thing! What a precious memento of that great deliverance! Hezekiah broke it, he smashed it. He says, it's only a bit of brass. You're making a god out of it. You're worshipping it. He refused to accept this error, this heresy that had come in. And let us be strong, friends, against the heresies of old that are creeping back in among the churches. What a calling we have to be Hezekiah's. Refuse the errors of his people. It would be an outcry, I'm sure. He wouldn't listen. It says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. In other words, he realized that if he had God on his side, anything was possible. All of these things, these false faiths and trusts, were useless. He discovered there's one through whom he can triumph. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, just as we trust in our mighty Savior, the descendant of Hezekiah, our great Messiah. Thirdly, he resisted the enemies of his God. A strong reformer. He rejected the evils of his father. He refused the errors of his people. He resisted the enemies of his God. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. There was a man of courage. Strong in Jehovah, the mightiest, most threatening force of its day, the mighty armies of Assyria, did not pass him. He came up, he refused, he rebelled against the king of Assyria. Ahaz had given way, not Hezekiah. Why? Not that he was strong in himself. No, he had with him, the Lord was with him. But then this tragedy came. After a glorious victory over Sennacherib, here is this man, 14 years into his reign, he's now 39 years old. And God says to him, it's time to finish up. Your life is over. 39. Everything's going so well. God says, no further. It was too much for Hezekiah. He couldn't. He couldn't endure. Here he was just at the point where he had cleansed the land, defeated their enemies, all were set for days of prosperity and of worship. God says, your work is done. And in a sense, it was done, friends. He had achieved all that God had raised him up to do. And there was a great reward awaiting him. But Hezekiah dissolved into tears. It was too much for him. And he cried unto the Lord. Why? He says, I've only done 14 years. That's not a lifetime of service. That doesn't make sense. I'm a young, fit man. Look at David, my forefather, 70 years he had. Here I've got to accept 39. So often we find the Lord's will and ways difficult to accept, don't we? Sometimes we can't see it as he sees it. But friends, there are times, and we don't know when God is going to say to you or to me, it's time to come to me. Are we ready? Seems Hezekiah wasn't ready. We have to be ready to, at any call of Christ, to enter into his presence. It was only 1 year since he had gained this great victory over Sennacherib. 100,000 had been slain outside the walls of Jerusalem. God had wrought a great victory. Was it all for nothing? So young to die. Do we think we've had enough? Is it not time the Lord called us back? We must be ready, friends. Prepare to meet your God. This is the lesson of Hezekiah. Don't depend on all your plans or prospects. Be ready today to hear the call and to enter in his presence. Of course, we have the wonderful benefit of our Savior. He accomplished his work in 33 years. I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And if we are living with the Lord and doing what we can through his strength, then we know that he knows best when we must call. We've had heard of people even recently in our own town being called away in the midst of life. And so may we, friends, so may we, so young to die. But then we are thirdly, friends, so great a mercy, so great a mercy. As we look at this wonderful answer to prayer, we see, first of all, a swift answer. This is emphasized here. It says that it came to pass before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. What answers have you had to your prayers, friends? Isn't it only by the mercy of God that we're here today? Perhaps you've been through dangers like I have been over my life, and I can look back and say, what a marvel that the Lord took me through that. Spared me from that, danger. I remember being in Khayelitsha, the township in Cape Town, full of the Xhosa people. And there was a kind of low-key civil war going on. There was much violence. And as I was returning one evening, I saw tires being laid across the street. And I just happened to come on it and slip through before the tires were completed. The barrier was completed and the tires were set alight. And every car after that was burnt with its occupants. I was spared. I was spared. Friends, be thankful today that you're here and alive. It's only by the mercy, so great a mercy. And so it was with Hezekiah. He had a swift answer. As well as a swift answer, he had a solar sign. An amazing thing happened. It says in verse 11, Isaiah cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz. Whatever lay Ahaz, the wicked father, had left behind, there's one good thing. He had left a sundial, a clock. And here it came, here it witnessed. It bore witness to Hezekiah that God had moved, you might say, heaven and earth to allow Hezekiah to have these extra years. You see, that little shadow on the sundial represented something absolutely momentous in the universe. For that shadow of the sun to shift back, it meant that the whole earth, the whole planet, had to go through some kind of convulsion so that its relationship with the sun and its orbit, its rotation, went through a kink or a hesitation at that moment. More than an eclipse, this was an extraordinary event in the whole solar system. What caused it? We don't know. It may have been some massive meteorite that had passed by and taken the Earth off its course or off its axis for a moment. Whatever means God used, it was a supernatural global event for the benefit of this one man. Isn't that extraordinary? That was an answer to prayer. It was in response to Hezekiah's tears. Friends, do you see? Do you see what your prayers can do? There is nothing impossible with the Lord. Why is it that your expectations are so low when it comes to the answer to your prayers? For this one sick man, God changed history, you could say. There was a solar sign. Of course, we have a solar sign, don't we? There at Calvary. We don't know what caused that darkness. Was it an eclipse or some other means? The truth is, friends, that it was another massive global event. Whereas if the Lord hid his face from his son at that moment. And that event, of course, declared that Christ was made sin for us. He was condemned. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. From that death, we have life today. We are alive because in these hours of darkness, Christ wrought out a mighty eternal salvation for us. You are saved by a global event. Are you living as though that were true? There was a swift answer. There was a solar sign. Great mercy. There was a sweet song. That's what we've looked at, haven't we? We looked and read that sweet song in Isaiah, chapter 38. And you'll see that Hezekiah explains that he was in a place of great bitterness. Reminds you, doesn't it, of Naomi? The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. He knew what it was to experience the bitterness of the Lord's chastisement upon him. He tried to claim his own righteousness, but that's not what answered his prayer. No, friends, it was the mercy, so great mercy on a poor sinner. He deserved that bitterness. But the Lord, yes, the Lord Jesus, we can say, was looking down on his forefather and saying, Hezekiah, I will drink that cup of your bitterness. And so I'm giving you the sweetness of pardon. Life is sweet, and life was given because death was taken by the Son of God. Do you have a story of such mercy? Do you realize that all the sweetness that you have in your life is not yours by right, but has been purchased for you by the gracious Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ? And so bitterness was turned to sweetness. Yes, friends, there was so great mercy. So you would think Hezekiah is now going to live these 15 years with a new fervor, a new faith, a new strength. But you know, there's a sad conclusion here. We began with so strong a reformer. We heard of so young to die. We heard of so great a mercy, but, we hear of so sad a conclusion. What did he do with these 15 years? He'd hardly got better when he had a huge temptation given him. These wicked emissaries from Babylon arrived on his doorstep with a gift. Hezekiah, without a thought, welcomes them. He's in such good humor. He's willing to welcome everybody. And so we begin here. How did this sad conclusion come to? It came through an unthinking welcome. Did Hezekiah say, are these fit allies for the holy people of God? Are these men coming with the blessing of Jehovah, or are they representing Baal and Beladon, a man called after the heathen demonic god? No. Unthinking welcome. When Isaiah quizzed him afterwards, he said, what did you do? Isaiah said, All things that are in my house, they have seen, nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. So what about the house of God? What about the glorious temple of Solomon? Not a word. Not a word. Friends, when you meet the people of the world out there and do business with them or interchange with them, are you careful? Are you careful to show them your treasure? Not your house or your car or your anything else, your assets. Are you careful to show them that your treasure is in heaven where Christ sitteth? What's wrong? You see, Hezekiah, despite his glorious deliverance, is selling himself cheaply to the world. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Isn't it sad that people, Christians who have begun with great fervor, seem to lose that first love? The old fire seems to have gone. Here was an opportunity for Hezekiah to recount the mighty deeds of the Lord. Is there any word about the sundial? Did he say, look, you see this sundial? Let me tell you a story. This is what Jehovah did for me. Not a word, not a whisper. What a disastrous visit. But friends, think. Think every time you meet an unconverted person. How can I convey Christ? How can I point to my glorious Savior? How can I speak a word of testimony to the one who suffered and died to give me this sweet and precious life through drinking the bitter cup? Is that your story? An unthinking welcome. An unexpected judgment, says in verse 17. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. It's as if Hezekiah planted a seed in the heart of these Babylonians. So they said, we want it. We want this. They went home saying, what a glittering prize for our armies. And they weren't satisfied until they came back and took it all away. Our friends, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Unexpected judgment. But the judgment's awaiting us as a nation. We've sold our heritage, haven't we? Is there still a place of mercy? Is that God of Ahaz's sundial still willing to put the clock back and give us, Lord, give us, just give us time to amend our ways, to cry for mercy? Because read this, here's the sad end of the story. An unworthy reaction. What did Hezekiah say when he heard the terrible news? Good is the word of the Lord, for he said in his heart, it is good if peace and truth be in my days. Where is the center of his hopes? As long as I've got peace, he'd become the center of his own life. Maybe your Christianity can be like that. If you're a Christianity that centers in yourself and how you're feeling in your heart, or is it as Hezekiah began, with a vision for the kingdom of God, with a desire for the prosperity of the gospel, for a passion that sinners be saved and that the church be built up in the honor of Christ. Hezekiah slept with his fathers. What a sad end to a man that said, peace and truth will be in my days. Is that temptation facing you? As long as we have it, for my lifetime, doesn't really matter what happens after that. That's not Christian, is it? No, friends. We must live for the generations to come, for the days of the triumph of the gospel. Let's recapture our vision. Let's see the great mercy and not despise it. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we have solemn lessons to learn. Sometimes we have to reset our clocks and reset and calibrate our priorities. Sometimes we have to reawaken our vision. Sometimes we just say, let Christ be glorified. Let souls be saved. Don't let me die until I've won a soul for Christ. Don't let me die until I see the church of God reach every evil corner. Don't let me die till I see, I'm able to say, Babylon. Babylon the Great has fallen. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.